o'clock hour of William Tausch begins now. Old boy, old T, the speech giver, will rejoin us in a little while here. Before that, though, we need to get to the NFL draft, which yielded 8 players for the Green Bay Packers. Matthew Golden, wide receiver, Texas. Anthony Belton, offensive lineman, NC State. Savion Williams, wide receiver, TCU. Baron Sorrell, who you may have heard about since he was my favorite story of the draft, in the 4th round, defensive end from Texas. Colin Oliver, defensive end from Oklahoma State, who has already signed his contract per Drew Rosenhaus. So, already got one guy under contract, like a matter of days after the draft. I mentioned Warren Brinson, the defensive tackle from Georgia, and then the 2 7th-round picks, Micah Robinson from Tulane, a corner, and John Williams, an offensive lineman from Cincinnati.
The movie composer?
That's exactly. I made that same joke when he was picked, and nobody got it.
Aww.
Jurassic was very
Park,
disappointing to me.
Harry
yeah.
Potter, Star Wars.
Star Wars. I'm surprised you left Star Wars all the way till 3rd there.
He and Hans Zimmer, 1 and 2, and I'm not sure in which order in my movie composer power rankings.
I believe Hans Zimmer, didn't he do the music for Die Hard?
That sounds... Hans Gruber. You're thinking of the villain.
I do enjoy a good Hans Gruber reference. Bill Clay. So I'm looking forward to talking to all these guys. I am intrigued. We haven't spent a lot of time on the undrafted free agent class, and apparently I won't be spending any time with them today. You know, the Packers renovated their locker room. They're still in the process of doing so, so we don't have locker room access as we normally do. So you can't, like, bounce around and get a bunch of guys, which I'm kind of bummed about. But the fact of the matter is that we'll have 8 draft picks to talk about. And talk to today. And I would say this. Baron Sorrell was obviously, he stole the show, right? Being in Green Bay, the only one that was still in the green room during the 4th round.
Golden was pretty good, too. I mean,
yeah, but you expect that type of energy when you pick a wide receiver for the first time in 23 years, and it's in person, and the outgoing team president / CEO / stand-up comic / hype man goes pretty giddy up on the stage.
We got to get the Chippewa Falls.
So that's great and all. It is, but I'm curious about a couple of other guys, including, you know, Anthony Belton and John Williams, the offensive lineman, not the composer. They're big dudes, and we talked a lot for a while here about how many offensive linemen are heading into their walk years, and I don't necessarily think either one of these guys are expected to be counted on ASAP, but I do think it's going to be interesting to see if one of these guys is fighting for a starting job, is Anthony Belton, because look, Jesse, you know this, when you're picked in the 2nd round, there are expectations that go with that. And whether or not he's going to be a project or they're going to be patient with him, or we already were told by both Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst he's not going to compete at left tackle. That is still going to be Jordan Morgan versus Rashid Walker. So do they plan on start? I mean, we'll have one practice to look at them tomorrow at 10:15. Beautiful Saturday spent inside the Don Hutson Center. But beyond that, we got no idea what they've got planned for these guys.
Laugh out loud moment. If you haven't heard the huddle with Barry Alvarez on ESPN Madison from earlier this week, Alex Gravatt, the host of the show, was reading off some of the description of Anthony Belton. And he said one of his strengths is he's a offensive lineman who really helps fill the gaps and solidify the line, to which Barry Alvarez says, "No blank, he's 400 pounds." Laugh out loud moment earlier this week. If you missed the podcast, you can check it out on the ESPN Wisconsin app. So I think there's one question which we've kind of talked about with Bulaga. Strofe brought it up yesterday when we were doing our Q&A time, which is what are your expectations for the offensive line and for Anthony Belton? Here's my question I want to flip on you here when you brought his name up, because I am intrigued probably most by him because of the hype of Golden, Savion Williams. I think we kind of see where that's going to go. And you mentioned, like, you know, Baron Sorrell had his moment last week, and then some of the other guys, we'll see where they fit in. Belton's the one who's most interesting to me, because what do you think his expectations are for his rookie season in Green Bay?
Yeah, that's interesting, Jesse, because as we did talk about yesterday, they are huge believers in the concept of transitioning a guy who is a college left tackle into some other position. And that would be another instance here, right? I mean, if they're saying flat out after drafting him that we're not going to put him into the left tackle mix, we're not going to have it be a three-way race, well, then what exactly are they looking for from him? There was a lot of talk about him being a guard body. He's not listed at 400 pounds. He may be 400 pounds. I'll have to wait and see when we see him in person. 6'6", 340 is what he's listed at. But is he a guard? Because that's a big guard. And he would fill in the gaps in the offensive line.
You don't say.
But that's a great question to ask him of what his expectations are, because not only is he transitioning from college football to the NFL, but he also must adjust to potentially playing a different position. He was a left tackle his entire career. So that's an adjustment he'll have to make as well.
Yeah, and I just, like, you get through the excitement of getting drafted, hearing your name, whether, you know, no matter what round it is, in front of the home crowd, you see the reaction. Like, then what settles in? You get to Green Bay, you meet with your head coach, you meet with your, you know, position coach. Like, then what happens? That's what I think is most interesting.
Yeah, the guy that I'm eager to talk to is Savion Williams, because I'm super curious with his diverse skill set, what exactly they have planned for him. So I want to talk to him, and I do want to talk to Warren Brinson, because, man, oh, man, they got a heck of a lot of Georgia Bulldogs on this team. And I am curious to explore that a little further with him. You should also explore the Steinhoffel's Memorial Day preview sale, which is on right now. Save 10% off store-wide, plus get amazing deals like mattresses starting at $199, queen beds priced at only $449, and sofas now at $499. Plus, you can save up to $1,000 on patio furniture and take advantage of Steinhoffel's 18-month 0% financing. Steinhoffel's is Wisconsin's furniture and mattress leader, and they're 100% employee-owned. So shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Tausch will rejoin us for a round of Did You Hear This? The Giannis edition next. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Tausch is back again. Tausch is back. Time to play Did You Hear This? Wanted to get to this before we ran out of week. Jesse worked very hard on it. So let's get to Did You Hear of This?
Consider it the radio version of a conversation at the water cooler. It's time for Did You Hear This on Wilde and Tausch.
Indeed it is Did You Hear This? Wanted to get to some of the national speculation about Giannis and the Bucks following the fallout of Game 5 of the Eastern Conference playoffs, and of course what comes next for Giannis in or not in Milwaukee. First up, this is what Chris Canty said a little bit earlier this week. Our buddy
Canty. I like
Canty.
Him.
Yeah, he's fun. It was fun seeing him in Green Bay last week.
Canty's auntie.
You might not think this is as fun, though. Here's what he said about the Milwaukee Bucks playoff loss to the Pacers, eliminated for the third straight year in round one of the postseason.
I'm just sitting here thinking about what was the biggest mistake when it comes to how they managed the roster these last half decade with Giannis. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know if it was too much loyalty to Chris Middleton throughout all of the injuries. I don't know if it was making the move to trade away Drew Holiday in order to bring over Dame. I don't know what the misstep was, but But we're going to look back on this and try to figure out how in the world did the Milwaukee Bucks screw this up? This is the greatest player this franchise has had since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And now they might be in a position where they're forced to deal him away because the guy can't win when it matters in the playoffs.
Harsh criticism, but he's not wrong, Tausch. What do you make of that?
No, I think he is wrong. And listen, some of the stuff he's saying is accurate, but there comes some luck that goes into this. Now, could you say you could have traded Middleton a year earlier? Do you guys remember last year? The Indiana Pacers game when Middleton was healthy? You guys remember that?
Now,
it was a snapshot of it, so I can understand that. But sometimes luck is the determining factor in this. And the Bucks got a championship. They chased a bunch. They obviously, the last 3 years hadn't worked. I don't blame them for making the Dame move. I advocated for it, and
yes,
it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. So there's not like – you're not going to look back at this Bucks run and say the management really screwed this up. Now, you could say that this year and some of the coaching part of it, yes. But you're going to look at it and say, man, they won a championship. And I think that you can sometimes say, well, you should have won more. Well, yeah, of course. So we have the same conversation with the Green Bay Packers pretty regularly. But I'm not going to sit here and say, well, the Bucks, what else could they have done? You have to understand, you don't make that move and give up picks to get Drew Holiday. You don't even have one championship. So I'm not going to go down that road. I disagree with Canty on that. And I think Giannis is by far the greatest Buck. I don't even know if I'm going to put Kareem. I guess I'm not going to go there. Kareem is in that conversation. But Giannis is two tiers ahead of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar when it comes to the Milwaukee Bucks.
All right. First of all, as a loyalist to Drew Holiday, I didn't like the trade at the time. I understood it, but I didn't like it. Not to the degree of the Ray Allen trade that I really didn't like and was a really bad idea.
Well, that was a brutal trade. That was bad. That was worse than this.
Yeah, no doubt. I gotta be honest, I didn't realize how old Dame was. And now I'm starting to have a greater appreciation for that. I don't want to sound like Goody here, that we don't want old guys. But the fact that he'll be in his age 37 season by the time we likely see him again because of this ruptured Achilles, I don't like that at all. So that trade, it's worse than just not working out. It really went poorly, and you couldn't have predicted he was going to suffer that injury unless you say, like Goody likes to say, older players get injured more. That's why I don't want him.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, I understand that they just wanted to move on from Chris Middleton, but what indications do we have that Kyle Kuzma is any good at all?
That's fair.
So Chris Canty with some fair points. I hope Giannis just is willing to weather the storm because he's a loyal guy, and that somehow they hit the right combination and they will have a winning organization in 27-28.
Did you hear this?
Speaking of Damian Lillard, here is what Shanae Ogwumike, who is a WNBA star but also an ESPN NBA analyst, said on NBA Today, the day following the Bucks elimination, referencing Damian Lillard in her speculation on what Giannis will do next. This is interesting.
Giannis is an extremely loyal guy. He's a guy that you can see has made roots in Milwaukee and has built this franchise up after a period and also delivered a championship. I don't see anything truly indicating that he wants to go, but still you have to think, you know, there's a cost to loyalty. Sometimes you look at your teammate Dame Lillard and maybe you think, okay, Dame, he was known as a loyal guy for so long. You don't want to wait too long before you make a decision to go elsewhere to maximize your competitive prime. Giannis is 30 years old. If the time were to be any time, it's right now to make a decision to go. But still, he's still showing signs that he cares dearly about Milwaukee.
Valid or off-base, Tausch?
No, that's valid. I think he is an incredibly loyal guy. I thought the way he handled himself with that idiot dad coming up. You can't help but love Giannis. And normally, back in the old days, I would say he's under contract, tough break, we're going to do it. Giannis deserves to get what he wants. Now, is what he wants always best? I don't know how much say he's had with coaching decisions. I know there's, you'd be crazy to not have input. But Giannis, if he gets to make this call, and I hope, and I think we all hope, that the call is let's build this thing up and let's go find a way to get another championship in Milwaukee, great. If he doesn't, I think he's earned the right to have the, he gets to do what he wants to do. I think he's earned that right. So I hope that she is correct in her assessment. Definitely has loyalty, definitely has love for the city of Milwaukee and for the state. But he wants to win another championship. And if he feels like there's no chance, I get where he's coming from.
I always love it when someone says something that makes me think. Which I wanted to say that rarely happens on this show, but that would be a lie, and that would just be taking a shot at Tausch for no reason. That made me think, because Damian Lillard was very loyal to Portland for a very long time. He was Mr. Portland Trailblazer, right? Even more so than Clyde the Glide Drexler. I think she makes a very good point. I still believe that Giannis's loyalty will ultimately win out. And I hate to agree with Steve.
What makes
Homer
you think
true.
That? What makes you think that?
Well, as she pointed out there, I have not, and sometimes maybe below the surface things are vastly different, but I feel like he would have done or said things by now that would show cracks in the foundation of him being committed to Milwaukee. Like, he would have slipped up in some way and said something that you went, ooh, he's thinking about leaving. And it's hard to be perfect, right, when you talk as frequently as he does. So I just, if I had breadcrumbs, some might say, of him having hinted at that he might want to leave, I'd feel less hopeful. But I choose to believe until he's playing for the Knicks or whoever it ends up being. Whoa, Nelly.
Did you hear this?
Whoa, Nelly's coming up next. One more here from Brian Windhorst on First Take earlier this week. When Windy speaks, you can put the fingers up in the air. What's he say? Interesting nugget here from Windy.
In the last 10 playoff games Giannis has played in, he has averaged 30 points, 15 rebounds, and 6 assists.
Hello.
Last night he had 30, 20, and 13. And they're 1-9 in those games. It's devastating. And he has done nothing this year but focus on this season. There's been no whispers out there. There's been nobody in that organization who've been like, wow, he may not want to be here. If you call his agent and say you want to talk about it, he will shut you down. Okay? He has been focused on this season. But how can you ignore that? How can you ignore 3 straight first-round exits and knowing that Dame Lillard is potentially going to be out for most of, if not all, of next season? It's not his fault, but that's just reality.
That one hurt when I heard it this week, Tausch.
What hurt about it?
Just 1-9.
How good he's been.
1-9, despite how good he's been in those playoff games that he's played in. Like, yes. We talk about the injury curse for Wisconsin sports teams, and especially the Bucks since they won the finals, and how they've always had somebody hurt. And you hear that, and you're like, man, Giannis is really carrying everything, and they still can't get it done in the first round. This isn't even like they're playing the Celtics in the conference finals or the conference semi. Like, the first round. They were a 1 seed a couple of years ago. They were favored last year against the Pacers. Hurts.
Hurts, don't it?
Yeah, I understand why everybody is feeling the way they are, and there's going to be some uncertainty. But all we ask for from our athletes, especially our stars, is to give it everything that they got. Giannis has done that, and he has not, for whatever reason, if it's not getting guys involved or how you finish games up, we haven't figured the formula out with this new era once Dame got here. The thought was Dame was going to be your closer. Giannis would get you there. And that has not gotten to fruition because of injuries on both sides of it. So sometimes in life, things just don't work out the way you hope, and you have to adjust and make alternative plans. And when you're in the NBA and you make these big investments, it is really difficult. If one of your key pieces isn't able to do it, it makes the hill that much taller to climb. And I think that's the scenario we're in. It does make me sad when I hear what Wendy said there, though.
Yeah, and let's not lose sight of the fact that he missed 6 games in the playoffs last year with a calf injury. He didn't play at all, and they lost that series. He overcame what looked like a catastrophic knee injury during their playoff run to the title in 21. I am sad that they have been so incredibly unfortunate on the injury front. If it's not him missing time, it was Chris missing time. If it wasn't him or Chris missing time, now it's Damian Lillard rupturing his Achilles. And don't forget, Damian Lillard was hurt last year toward the end of the playoff run, right? Didn't he miss the last couple of games of that series as well? It just makes you wonder what if. But like Tausch said, sometimes things don't work out the way you plan. And speaking of that, sometimes bad things happen to good people. You're in an accident. You're seriously injured. I hope it never happens, but if it does, make the call. One call, that's all. Gruber Law Offices, 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666, or go to the website, gruber-law.com. More Wildy and Tausch. Whoa, Nelly is next, so stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Wildy and Tausch rolls on with that flattering photo of a smiling Tausch on the sideline because he is in parts unknown.
Yeah, I love that photo.
It is a great picture. Do we know who took that?
I don't, but whoever did, kudos to
Vern
them.
Beaver. You look very happy. You're very handsome in that photo.
Thanks.
And time now for another handsome fellow, Jesse Nelson, to take over the program with Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Boo! Not the bubbler. The bubbler's great. We're not
love the bubbler.
We're booing Craig Council tonight, fellas. We're booing him. Brewers Cubs year 2.
Wait, are you going?
I wanted to, but I don't have anyone to go with me.
You have 18 tiers of friends.
Yeah,
you couldn't find one person to go boo.
What about like Mike the DJ?
Nah, I didn't ask Mike. He's needy. He always wants me to buy him stuff.
We should have probably contested this. If this was something you wanted to do,
this would have
been a fun thing for you to take a fan to.
It came together late because we have the big Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards Gala is tomorrow night. And I'm going to that instead of going up and getting the cabin ready for the summer. Everyone else in the family is going up and getting the cabin ready. It's the work weekend. So everybody close to home
shocking,
is heading up there.
Shocking that it's work weekend.
I found a way out of work, yeah.
Mysteriously have something to do.
Gotta go
shocker.
Get wine and dine and win awards again, maybe.
What? You know, not that I would go anyway, but how do you get included in the group that gets to go to this? Like, what makes you worthy
of
the table?
Good question.
Thank you.
I've been nominated for things the last several years.
Like, have we?
Well, yes.
I think the producer has to nominate you, or you have to put stuff in to get nominated. I don't think. I'm guessing if Jesse's putting stuff up, it's going to be Ballstream TV. He wants to win his own award. That's
so
my hunch.
The award we're up for this year for best radio play-by-play is for the Wisconsin Badgers volleyball broadcast, featuring, of course, John Audius, the Hall of Famer Pete Waite, producer Hunter Vaughn, and yours truly in the studio. We are nominated for best sports play-by-play this year. So that's what we're hoping to
good
bring
luck
home some hardware for us.
Good
Saturday
luck.
Thank you. So, yeah, in the meantime, I'm going to be sitting at home watching the Brewers game.
But and booing your television.
But it's on Apple TV tonight.
Oh, God.
So, a public service announcement. I've been sharing it throughout SportsCenter updates throughout the day on ESPN Madison. But if you are unaware, you are not going to be able to watch tonight's game on FanDuel Sports Wisconsin. It is exclusively on Apple TV Plus. And if you don't have that, of course, you can listen to 620 WTMJ, 100.5 ESPN Madison, or the Brewers Radio Network, wherever you can catch the Brewers.
Can I make a recommendation for Major League Baseball?
Of course.
Please do.
Major League Baseball needs to be the first sport to go all in on Netflix. Every game on Netflix. Local, you still get your FanDuel Sports Network. Everything else, put it on Netflix. You have to start growing your game. You can't do what the NFL does. Sorry, you're not the NFL. I would love to be a model. I'd love to work for Calvin Klein. Not going to happen. You have to know where you're at in life.
Want to be a banker.
Major League Baseball isn't the NFL. They can't make packages up out of nowhere. Sell everything to Netflix. Figure out your local sports. Do the radio. Netflix, here you go. Start telling stories with documentaries and then trigger that to the games. You see what it did for F1 racing. Baseball has a lot of youth and influence and the YouTube show, all of that stuff. They need to lean into it. And if they want to grow, this is the road. Don't be piecemealing it. Oh, I'm going to give here and I'm going to do this. ESPN just said, we're not going to go into business with you moving forward after this year. You need to be the pioneer and say, you know what? Man, we love linear TV. That's all great. It is time. Let's go. And I'm just doing them a public service. They won't listen, but that's what they should do.
I'm not sure I agree with that assessment. I would say that there are a lot of games, which is one of the differences with the NFL. And I think they
you
are
trying...
You
know what Netflix has a lot of, Jason?
Movies.
What do they have a lot of, Dow?
Documentaries, movies, TV shows. And you know what they also have? Oh, I can click on that whenever I want. Bing, bang. And it could change the whole narrative. It could. You know, live sports is king, no doubt about it. But when you grab that live, all of a sudden that could change and help you actually grow your model.
I'm surprised that a savvy businessman with a diversified portfolio would suggest going all in on streaming only.
I hate
and putting
to say
all
this.
Their eggs yeah. in that basket. That
so,
seems
Jason, I hate to say this,
perilous.
The old days where you sit around and, hey, Jesse, let's turn on the telly at 7 p.m. and watch a Brewers game on a
just because
Friday
that's
night.
Not what you do doesn't
no, 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 no.
like we're
Jason,
not Brewers fans.
Jason, here's the deal. I am a Brewers fan. Don't tell me I'm not.
How many games have you watched this season?
I've watched a couple, and I'm going to be going to a bunch couple. Of games. I go to games.
You,
yeah, I'm not.
You
I'm
stand
not
sitting, with your back to the field, talking to people.
I'm not sitting here.
Deals.
He watches
Listen,
a little bit.
I'm not sitting here telling you I'm Benny Brewer. Okay, I'm not. I love the Brewers. I want them to win a championship.
Bernie's little-known brother Benny.
You don't know. I had a kid on my team. We called him Benny Brewer. He wore all Brewers gear, so I wasn't referring.
Was he Jesse?
Brewer. I was referring to a kid on my youth little league team called Benny Brewer.
Benny Brewer.
So check yourself before I wreck you. The bottom line
that
is...
That seems aggressive.
Well, you guys were just aggressive. I wasn't the one being aggressive.
We thought you just said Bernie wrong.
No,
sorry.
I said
Benny
Brewer.
We didn't know. We didn't know.
Totally on us that you didn't... Okay, we didn't know that you had a little league teammate in the late 80s.
No,
who was
it was,
a
I was
Benny Brewer,
him,
as I said earlier.
What were we even? Bottom line is, somebody is going to do
Whoa,
this.
Whoa, Nelly.
UFC is going to do it. I think baseball needs to make it because, for as much as I like having access to watching a show on the telly, everybody younger than me does not.
You're the same guy who complains about trying to navigate between regular over-the-air television programming and streaming,
proving,
and it's not
Jason,
all streamlined on your television.
You're proving my point. Exactly.
I'm sure I am. Yes.
Let's just move it along and say this is where it's going.
I agree with let's move it along.
I'm not going to sit here and tell. So Netflix is big enough. They're strong enough. And gosh darn it, they can
watch it.
That provider that will give major. And the thing you're missing, Jason.
Please
is,
tell
I'm not
me.
Being, I'm not being condescending here.
Yes, you are. If you have to say, I'm not
entirely condescending.
You're being condescending.
You know what they have on Netflix?
Okay. Let me know when you guys are done. Are you done?
Yeah, we're done.
I'm not interrupting.
The F1 racing formula. I didn't know anything about it. People, it's a niche sport. They put this documentary out on Netflix. And it blows up into boom. They get a big TV deal. Major League Baseball has been looking.
Wait, what? They got a TV deal?
Yeah.
On what?
They got a deal. They got a deal with like ESPN or something. I don't know.
So they use Netflix documentary to get a deal on over-the-air cable television?
Well, and also on stream on ESPN Plus and all the other stuff. So,
but they're niche sports.
Do you not understand that Netflix is going to end up having its own TV channel too? Do you not see this coming? Like, do you not get this?
No.
Well,
I don't.
Nelly, I feel like it. You guys. You know what? I'm not going to sit here and show you a vision on something visionary when you guys got your blinders on. I don't want to sit here and pound my head against a wall till you guys see the vision. I feel like you're just mocking me, which is fine. I'm a big boy. I can take it.
We're not mocking you. You're condescending to us, and we're not mocking you.
Fair enough. Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly.
Feel bad. I wanted to get to my brother-in-law's text
this
morning.
We got time for
one more. I promised
him. Let's do a quick one. We got time.
My brother-in-law, Chris, texted this morning in a group text. Maybe when Jesse watches his first NHL playoff game tonight, he'll realize playoff hockey is the best playoffs in sports, as they will talk about it on the radio. He is a Winnipeg Jets fan. Big game against the St. Louis Blues tonight. Game 6, I believe, of their series.
Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah, hockey is a niche sport.
They should put it on Netflix.
Actually, that's pretty funny. And actually, they should. And they should put some documentaries out to get people You know what's funny about this? You are the target demo for what I'm talking about. Hey, let's get somebody. I'm not going to say idiot. Let's get somebody hooked on a storyline and some, you know, get him hooked on, oh my God, did you know that this dude had this happen to him and they are now doing this? Oh, I have to watch the Blues Jets tonight because I know this storyline now. That is you to a T.
I am not watching 162 games because of it, though. F1 only has a finite number of races. Again,
you'll
the NFL
watch more than zero.
Sure, I'm sure I would. I agree, but
Jason, you can't climb Mount Everest without taking two steps. Okay.
And cleaning up after yourself because there's so much garbage. Right, Tausch, tell
a lot
us
of poop
about Prize Picks. Apparently, if the Brewers game tonight wasn't on Apple TV, you might be doing some Prize Picks, but instead, you'll have to find something else like the
first
Winnipeg
Jets. Inning
runs.
Oh, you got all the strikeouts. There's so much fun stuff on Prize Picks. The best place to turn your sports knowledge into cash. And with millions of members, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to everybody, and it's simple. Pick more or less on two players for a shot to win. Used to be 1,000 times. It's up to 2,000 times your cash. You can run your game all season long on Prize Picks. You got the playoffs. Jesse just mentioned NHL playoffs. You got NBA. You got UFL. You got everything that you're looking for. Jump on in. Download the app today. Use code WI, and you get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI to get $50 instantly after you play that first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
We wrap up the week and wrap up the show with a special Feel Good Friday painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. That's next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app, customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
Born and raised under the rain and a western wind, felt the wave.
We wrap up the week.
Try to live up to
And today's show with Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. And this one is a special one, Tausch. I turn the floor over to you to talk about your sister.
Yeah, it's been a tough stretch for me and my family. We lost my sister, and it's been tough, but I, you know, was having a hard time trying to figure out when and how to talk about it on the show, because she's been, you know, battling things for a long time, and we had her funeral and some of the things, and I just wanted to honor her because she's older than me, and she was perseverance to a T. She had so many different things that she had to battle and deal with that you can't even fathom. And for her to carry on and compete, getting up off the floor and getting up, just doing what she needed to do to keep going. She was there's nothing she loved more than to ring the Salvation Army bell when she had to stop working a few years ago. That was her passion. And she got honored in 2017 with the Bell Ringer of the Year for the Salvation Army. So it's been a really sad, difficult stretch for us. And having her going to the funeral and having all of her friends show up and tell us about the impact that was made from her life was really rewarding to our family. And she was the best. She was the best. And I love her. We're going to miss her. And I really just want to illustrate how tough she was from all of us. And played football, all of this stuff. She was by far the toughest cat in our family. And we're going to miss her a lot. And I just wanted to give her – she loved – whenever she could, she just wanted to talk Packers football with me, and she loves seeing my success, and we're gonna miss her a lot. And that's I know it's not the happiest Feel Good Friday, but it was something I've been trying to figure out how to talk about on air without, you know, being really sad. And to see all of the people that were just moved by what she did in her life, it brought a lot of joy to us. So Chrissy, we're going to miss you.
Well, you honored her beautifully there, and we certainly are supportive of you and your family. You know how much we care about you and your family. And you told Jesse and I last week about this, and I'm glad you had the opportunity to share that, because that was a beautiful tribute. That is it for us this week. We will be back next week. Now, you'll be gone Monday, Tuesday in Vegas for the big fundraising golf thing?
Yeah, and I was trying to. Obviously, Monday is a full day. I can't. Tuesday, if you remember last year, we had rattlesnakes and we had birds. I'm going to jump on at some point on Tuesday, I think, and showcase where we're at again, because I think we had a lot of fun with that. But, yes, this is – and I know people, hey, man, you – living it up a little bit.
Well, you're only going for 2 days, not like Sonoma for 3 months.
Well, we'll see, right? You just never know how things will play itself out.
We'll talk Raiders.
What happens
on
in
Monday.
Vegas?
Yeah, we'll break down the Golden Knights now that it's on Netflix, and Jesse is a big fan.
It's a niche sport. All right, that's it for us today. We will do it again on Monday. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care.